Hello and welcome to this edition of the Classical Tulsa podcast. I'm Jason Heilman. My guest today via Zoom is pianist Baron Ryan. Baron has been electrifying audiences in Tulsa and beyond for years as both a solo artist and as one half of the Ryan and Ryan piano duo, together with his father, pianist Donald Ryan. All told, Baron has released half a dozen solo and duo albums to date, but his newest album is a little different. Titled First of Its Kind, it's made up of two of Baron's own compositions for solo piano, his Opus 1 and Opus 2. On this podcast, we'll talk to Baron about his latest album, and we'll find out what else he has in store for listeners. Baron Ryan, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, your new album has not one, but two of your own compositions on it, a piano sonata and a suite for solo piano. What's motivating you to start composing such large-scale works?
Necessity. Huh. I had a concert, a recital at the University of Tulsa in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Tulsa, and all my hometown followers had already heard everything that I had played. So I needed new material, and I didn't find what I was looking for. I was looking for what I wrote, which is pop, country, funk inspired classical music, because there's been so much jazz inspired classical music and some ragtime. I thought, well, there's no reason why composers can't use more modern, more recent influences in classical music. But I didn't find what I was looking for. And so I thought, well, I just need to create my own. So I wrote the sonata because I wanted to fill a lot of time, but not have to come up with a whole bunch of different ideas. So that's why I wrote a large scale work. And then I wrote the suite to accompany the sonata on the album. I knew I needed a little bit more. And the suite worked because the sonata is based on a lot of different dance rhythms. There's pop, there's funk, there's some jazz, there's a jig and some blues. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I could use some other dance styles and write a suite. And so that's what I did.
So let's talk more specifically about your influences in the sonata. Could you name a few?
Sure. So the first movement, I think of the first theme as being a Motown soul kind of influence with Jackson 5, and then the transition as well being Jackson 5 influenced. And then in the second theme of the first movement, and in the second movement, there's strong Rachmaninoff vibes because he's my favorite classical composer. And then in the third movement, there is a funky Irish jig, is what I like to call it, and a blues. And then in the last movement, there's basically it's supposed to sound like a James Brown funk tune with a little jazz piano inspired by Errol Garner in the middle. And I actually have a playlist that I made on Spotify with the influences in the sonata and in the dance suite. And so people can find that by searching for my profile and finding the First of Its Kind Mood playlist.
But so you've taken these influences from a variety of traditions and you've put them into what I would consider a fairly vigorous classical form. Is that right?
Certainly in the sonata, I stole from Beethoven. I took a sonata of his that I learned because I was trying to write this piece within a certain time frame so I could write it and then learn it by the recital at TU. And so I chose a sonata because it was basically a sonata is a roadmap to some degree. If you pick, especially if you pick one in particular and just say, I'm going to copy the form of this, at least to the degree that I want to, at least then I know what I'm working toward next. So yes, there's definitely a strong sonata form in the sonata. And that was partially just to make it easier to write, to make it easier to work on one section and then to know in some general sense where the piece was going to go next.
I suppose if we're being honest, that's what sonata form was for Beethoven too.
Yeah. Well, everybody's done it.
Right. It's a form. It works. That's how he was able to crank out 32 of them.
Yeah.
And you titled the piece The Magic City Sonata. What does Magic City mean for you?
Well, I titled it Magic City. First of all, I just needed a nickname for it. That's some feedback that I got because in this age of branding and so forth, which I'm not opposed to, you need a... It's just sonata in B flat major isn't quite as catchy as having something that is is nicknamed. And so I wanted to do that. And since it has such a strong Tulsa connection, one of Tulsa's nicknames is the Magic City. And it was, I'm from Tulsa. It was written for the University of Tulsa, or at least written for a program that I performed at the University of Tulsa. And so since it was so Tulsa-centric, that's why I decided to call it the Magic City Sonata.
Well, so speaking of catchy names, you accompany this piece on your album with Sweet Thing. How did that piece come about?
Well, I wanted something that would complement the sonata. And the sonata is a rather big work. And so I wanted this, I wanted something that was a little bit lighter, but that still had some cohesion to it. And so I decided, I decided on a suite because there's a strong dance suite tradition going back to Bach with all, he wrote many suites. I don't know exactly how many, but he wrote a lot of them. And then there have been other dance suites too. And so I thought, just as with the sonata, I took a tradition and then brought it into the 20th or 21st centuries. I also wanted to do the same thing, but the dance suite is a little bit lighter. I say that I want each movement to sound like a piano arrangement of a popular song you've just never heard before. So the first movement is in a pop style. The second is in a 50s soul style. The third is a country waltz. And then the fourth is actually not American. It's not U.S. American. It is Trinidadian. And that's where my dad's from. And in Trinidad, that's where the steel pan was invented. And every year, during Carnival, there is a competition of steel pan orchestras, and these orchestras can get as big as 100 people, and they have arranged for them these pieces of popular tunes that the arrangements last 10 minutes, 15 minutes long. They change keys multiple times. It's amazing to see, and I've only seen it online. And so I was trying to get some version of that with my last tune, although it's only 6.5 minutes and has only 3 key changes. So maybe next time I'll do a more full-blown calypso rendition.
So then the movement titles are basically the song titles for these songs that we don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. So the first one is Out for Delivery. The second one is Purdy Please, which is an allusion to the drum groove that it's inspired by Bernard Purdy. It's called the Purdy Shuffle. The third one is If I Don't See You Again, which is it's related to stories of loved ones being admitted to the hospital during COVID and not sure if they'll see their family again. So that's If I Don't See You Again, Know That I Love You. And then the last one is Flash in the Pan, because it's based on steel pan music. So a lot of puns in Sweet Thing.
Well, let's hear a highlight from this album. Here's the final movement from Sweet Thing, titled Flash in the Pan, composed and performed by Baron Ryan.
Thank you.
One of the few times when Flash in the Pan is a compliment, that was the Steel Pan-inspired finale from Sweet Thing, Opus 2, written and performed by pianist Baron Ryan from a brand new album of his own compositions titled First of Its Kind. So, Baron, how would you sum up the pieces on this album?
They're fun. I wanted to make music that would appeal to both classical enthusiasts and non-classical enthusiasts. And the way that I wanted to do that was by drawing upon influences from both, which we've touched upon. But this is music that I think will be fascinating for anybody approaching music, approaching it, because it includes music that everybody it includes styles that everybody has heard. Mm-hmm. Everybody's heard some form of pop or some form of soul, but this takes it to puts it at a different instrument, because usually those styles aren't written for only a piano. And then it also takes it in some fun directions with development that I use my classical training in varying the melodies that you may hear, either in the rhythm or the chords that you hear as well. And so I really hope that it will be an intriguing listen regardless of your musical background.
And you've released not only the tracks, but also the sheet music to your new album, so people can hear and play your music for themselves. How can they get the chance to do both of those things?
Right. Both the recording and the pieces themselves, the compositions, are in public domain. And so they can use them to their heart's content and play them to their heart's content, regardless of who it's for, where it is, etc. And they can be downloaded. The audio can be downloaded at foik.baronryan.com. That's Baron with two R's and an O. And then the musical scores can be downloaded at sheetmusic.baronryan.com. And then the album's also available on all your favorite streaming platforms.
Well, this certainly isn't going to be the end of your composing career. In fact, you have a big premiere coming up, which was mentioned in Smithsonian Magazine. What can you tell us about your piece for Chamber Music Tulsa?
Right. Well, it's finished, or at least to the degree that it can be finished without getting together and playing it with other people. It is called My Soul is Full of Troubles. I was drawing a blank there for a moment. It's for piano trio, and it was actually it actually came out of the performance that I had at TU. The board at Chamber Music Tulsa learned that I was composing because of that performance, and so they asked if I wanted to be a part of this centennial commemoration of the Tulsa Race Massacre. And I leapt at the opportunity. It's a big responsibility. I tried not to think about it too much when I was writing the piece, because I didn't want to get paralyzed with the weight of what I was writing. So it's new for me in that it's for piano trio and not just for piano. But I'm looking forward to premiering it. It will premiere sometime in May or June.
And you'll be at the keyboard, is that right?
Yes, I will be at the keyboard.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, before we go, is there anything else you have coming up that you'd like to mention?
At some point, I will be doing a release concert, a live release concert of this album. I am anticipating that it will be either at the end of the summer or beginning of the fall. So keep an eye out for that, because that will be the first time anybody will be able to hear all of these, at least in Tulsa, live. So that's what I have coming up.
All right. Well, Baron Ryan, thank you for talking to us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's all for this episode of the Classical Tulsa podcast. I'd like to thank Baron Ryan for joining us today via Zoom. For more on the classical music scene in Northeast Oklahoma and beyond, tune into my radio show, Classical Tulsa, every Friday at noon Central on Classical 88.7 KWTU HD1 and streaming at publicradiotulsa.org. Until next time, I'm Jason Heilman. Thanks for listening.